Welcome to another midweek message from Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I'm Pastor Dennis, and this message is for Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. And the theme is the gift of joy. Two scriptures for you first. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He's turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." And John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Well, in a year like we've had in 2020, joy is something that has been difficult to find. For many of us, we've probably more often experienced sadness, frustration, loneliness. The list could go on. A sense of happiness and joy has been a little harder to come by. But here we are. We find ourselves in this season of joy, or at least what is supposed to be a season of joy. And maybe many of you are happy. Happy as you wrap gifts and write or receive cards from loved ones and friends you haven't seen for a while. Yet, while you might feel happy in all of that, that sense of joy just doesn't seem to come. Thinking of that got me wondering, do you have to be happy to be joyful? Can you have a spirit of joy even when in the midst of a year like 2020? You know, joy is one of the most frequently used words in Scripture. And quite often joy and suffering are mentioned in the same breath. For example, in 2 Corinthians 8:2, speaking of the Christians in Macedonia, Paul writes, "They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they're also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity." And in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, "So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you." And the writer of James says, "Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." Zephaniah is one of those underread and underappreciated minor prophets of the Old Testament. His book is only 3 chapters long, and in most Bibles covers only about 3 pages, so it's easy to miss. You'll find it between Habakkuk and Haggai, if that helps you. Zephaniah begins with the prophet telling the children of Israel some really tough times to come unless they make some big changes. He calls the Israelites to repentance and talks also the destruction of nations opposed to Israel. But then in chapter 3, verse 14, the tone dramatically changes, and Zephaniah offers an incredible picture, a beautiful glimpse of real, biblical, God-styled joy. He speaks of a time when God will remove his judgment from his people, of a day when a new king will enter into the midst of the people and take away all their fears, a day when the people's shame will be transformed into shouts of praise because every sin they ever committed, every issue that has separated them from God, will be remembered by God no more. Zephaniah tells the people, God will bring them back together as a community. He'll gather them and bring them home. But his greatest reason for rejoicing is stated in verse 17, where it says, God has found his joy in them, in us, in you, in God's people. Real joy comes from knowing that no matter what, the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. What the prophet says here intimates what the Apostle John will tell us in his gospel many years later, that the Word became flesh and lived among us. This godly joy which the prophet speaks isn't a subdued or quiet or dignified kind of joy. It's not God just up there somewhere smiling down on us. The Hebrew words used here for delight and rejoicing literally mean jumping for joy or dancing for joy. Zephaniah gives us this image of a God who rejoices and sings over his people, like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, like David danced in front of the Ark of the Covenant, like the morning stars sang at the creation of the world, a joy like the prodigal's father when he ran out to greet his son and threw a party. The joy Zephaniah speaks of is not one-sided. It's not just God's people who are called to rejoice. God also sings and shouts with joy over his beloved restored. God's heart overflows with jubilation when his people return to him. So what is joy? Well, truth is, much of what we might label as life's joys are really just the simple pleasures of this life, material stuff that might make us feel good for a moment, activities we might enjoy for a moment, but then the feeling goes away. It doesn't last. So we look for the next thing that might do it for us. That's the reason so many people live joyless lives. They look for joy in temporal things. They haven't found the real key to lasting joy. And when trials come, when tragedy strikes, they're without hope. We consider this emotion we call joy. I think there's three kinds of joy. There's emotional joy, there's moral joy, and there's spiritual joy. Only one of those three is true and lasting joy. Emotional joy is the kind you experience in the moment, like a mother looking at her newborn baby, or a bridegroom watching his bride come down the aisle. The kind that comes from personal satisfaction of a job well done, a game won, an exemplary musical performance. We might also call this kind of joy gladness, satisfaction, or cheerfulness. Moral joy is a sense of a good conscience received when doing good deeds. Maybe when on a Brethren Disaster Ministries work trip, helping a family restore their home. It's a sense of contentment or personal peace resulting from service to others. But both those kinds of joy, emotional and moral joy, are just temporary forms of joy. These kinds of joy, they might bring you happiness, but not lasting joy. The third kind, spiritual joy, is real biblical joy. This kind of joy is the fruit of the Spirit, not something we can attain on our own. God is its source, and it comes through faith. This is the kind of joy expressed in worship. Psalm 89:15 says, "Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord." And it's celebrated in community. As Zechariah said, "I will gather you together and bring you home." It's a permanent, lasting joy. John 16:22 says, "You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy." And it is the promise of eternity. Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the way to life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." And it's unspeakable, not easy to put into words. 1 Peter 1:8, "Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." This kind of joy is the blessed assurance. It's the peace of God which passes all understanding. It is joy that gives strength for the day and bright hope for tomorrow. Happiness is fleeting, but true joy can be present in any circumstance, and it lasts. True joy assures us deep down inside that no matter what, God is with us. That doesn't mean we'll be happy in all circumstances. We will weep. We will have pain. And in that moment of sorrow and pain, joy may be very difficult for us to see. But when our spirit of joy is found in Christ, deep within us we know, we sense the power of the spirit of joy, which will help us overcome our sorrow and pain. Joy is a baby in a manger, sent from God to live with us, sent to save. Apart from Jesus, All the temporal joys of life will someday be stolen, destroyed, or die off. When we're connected to Jesus, the life he gives us lasts forever. The peace he gives surpasses all understanding. The gifts he offers, an overflowing fountain of forgiveness, grace, and love, will never ever get old and can't be taken from you. What does joy, real joy, look like? The angels proclaiming Jesus' birth to shepherds in the fields made it clear that there is only one simple symbol, only one source of real joy. And what did they say? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Even in the midst of a year like 2020, we can find joy. The joy of redemption and restoration. The joy found in the baby born in a stable on a back alley in a tiny village called Bethlehem. Joy, unspeakable joy that never lets us go. Joy given to us by a God who is deeply involved and invested in the life of the world. A God who cares, God who loves, God who weeps, God who sings, God who rejoices. And we who are wondrously and inexplicably his beloved are asked to join in the celebration and to participate in his unfolding grace and love. This is the good news of great joy for all people. Pray with me. God, as this long year of 2020 is coming to a close, we need some joy. As we celebrate your coming among us once more, give us a good dose of joy. Joy like your joy, overflowing, abundant, and full. Even in a year like we've had, you have been present and you have been working. This Christmas season, fill us with joy, a joy that can last into 2021 and beyond. Amen. On the print version of this message, I've included a link to a contemporary version of the carol Joy to the World by Chris Tomlin. In that carol, he adds a short chorus that I hope will fill you with some real, unspeakable joy. God bless. Hope to see you Sunday morning.